When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, y'all, this is Mickey Mouse. Hey, Mad About Movies, congrats on 1,000 episodes. And don't worry, the check is in the mail, but don't cash it for a few weeks.
We finally made it. Episode 1,000. The Mad About Movies, episode 1,000.
Wow.
Jamboree. Wow, that's cool.
Oh, it's a full-on jamboree.
Yeah, huh? Wow.
Oh, my
we
God.
Party.
Oh,
I didn't... wasn't prepared for that. I didn't dress well. Yeah.
I figured out that if you just add jamboree to things, it just makes it sound really fun.
Yeah.
You're like, parole, yeah. Jamboree.
I was ready for the pro-am, but not the jamboree. That's that was a
no, it's just Mad About Movies, episode 1000, jamboree. That's what I was told.
Okay. All right.
So we'll see if it lives up to that expectation.
So there's no golf tournament? That's kind of a bummer. Kind of hoping there'd be.
You got your caddy hired.
I got a whole Payne Stewart outfit going. That was...
Yep.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, if we all die, please have a memorial pro-am in our honor. Well, that's our dying wish. We hope.
That's
a pickleball tournament for me.
The Mad About Movies pro-am.
Yeah. Memorial pro-am for the
It's just a bunch of like, you know, nerds like us, movie people online that just don't play golf, so it's just the worst. Like the course.
Like they said they wanted a pro-am. None of their fans are golfers
under 70. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Just Adrian's Jesse. Long.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Adrian's 350 off the tee, easy. Bombs it. First time swinging.
It's actually, if you become a VIP, you're obligated to come to our funerals. So
right.
Keep that in mind, because we're not going to have a lot of other people show up. Yeah. So it's kind of a kind of a paid actor situation. It's probably a gray area with the SAG, but
let's say
it's okay. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy for our VIPs and everybody that chimed in on this episode, because we've got some great clips to roll of the past 1,000 episodes, some great moments that the VIPs suggested, voted on, that kind of thing. They sent a lot, and way too much for us to play in one episode that would be not 8 hours long. So we've narrowed it down to, I think there's about a dozen here or so to go through. So it's going to be really fun. Some of the top moments as voted on by the VIPs in Mad About Movies history. But Brian, let's take a look back trivia at the history of Mad About Movies.
Yeah, I just went and looked back at some important, obviously very historically significant dates in Mad About Movies. More just like, hey, do you guys remember when we did this? And you guys would be like, no, of course I don't. And I would probably not remember that either if I hadn't looked this up. Kent might, because he did a bunch of, he did a big look back this week to try to pull clips and stuff. But you guys, obviously we remember what our first episode was, right?
I do.
Richard?
Yeah. Django Unchained.
Django Unchained in Kent's apartment. And if memory serves, Richard and I both left thinking, all right, this will be fun for about a week or a month, maybe something like that. And then Kent was like, hey, we can do this remotely. And we're like, oh, okay. That changes everything.
Kent was like, don't forget your mics. And I was like, I'm good, dude. I don't need that to bring that every time. And he was like, no, you can do it from home. And I was like, oh, then I'll do this.
All right. Then this could last. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We were way ahead on the remote work situation.
That's right.
That's right.
Do you guys, so for our 100th episode, we did our top 10 favorite movies of all time. Do you have any idea what the 99th episode of Mad About Movies was? The last review episode we did in 2014 before our 100th episode.
Oh, there's no telling. I'm going to say La La Land.
Okay. 2016, but nice try. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You'll never get this one. There's a couple others where I might give you a hint, but this one also surprised me. This was the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie with Megan Fox.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we We celebrated quite in style. We celebrated in style. Do you guys have any idea, and I'll give you a hint or two here, what our first throwback episode was? Now, not throwback on the Patreon feed. That's going to come up here in a moment. The first throwback movie we did an episode on.
The first one titled Throwback.
Uh-huh. Yes. It happened in 2014. It happened right around the time of that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In fact, I'll tell you, the second throwback we ever did was the original 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Was
the
MacGruber?
First movie. No, it's not MacGruber. That's a good one. We did that a little bit later. That may come up here in a second. The movie came out in 1989. It stars an American treasure. It won an Oscar, I believe. Pretty sure it won an Oscar. And it has been recreated multiple times over the course of Mad About Movies history and before as well, if that helps.
Would it be Batman 89? Why would that have
Batman
been the first?
89 is correct, yes.
Why would that have been the first throwback? That's interesting.
No idea. I think it was just
Shane,
a blank spot.
Shane had us at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Shane.
Yeah.
Guys, better Shane to do this.
Yeah. Do it. Hold on. Let me get this trigger to work.
Batman 89 is correct. That's good. Our first five throwbacks there in the late summer and early fall of 2014 were Batman 89, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, relevant, The Matrix, and Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. I've got three more just quick questions here for you guys. What was the first throwback that we published on the VIP feed in July of 2017?
I'm going to say Jaws.
Okay. Richard, any guesses here?
I'm going to say Jaws 4.
Jaws 4. It was actually The Fifth Element. We started off with the
bank. We were like, hey, yeah, you guys want to start paying us money? We'll do all the Besson you want. We'll just bring you Besson on Besson on Besson.
We have not lived up to that.
Yeah, we didn't. We never revisited. So that's on us, honestly. We'll be better in the next.
I remember that first, I don't know, week or 10 days of opening the Patreon feed.
Right.
Was crazy. We just thought no one will do this. Let's just try this so we can cross it off the list. Brian was good about getting us on that early. And then like, it was kind of crazy. Like within hours, minutes, seconds, they just started pouring in. It was wild.
Yeah. It was a crazy time. Good times. Real quick, two more.
100 something people subbed and probably the first one.
Yeah. It jumped up 72
hours or
really
something.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Thank you, all of you, by the way, still to this day.
That's right. In 2015, boys, we did three live shows at the Alamo Drafthouse within the span of about 3 months. Do you remember what those movies were? There was one where we hosted a special screening.
MacGruber was one.
Uh-huh. MacGruber was the first one. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember this. Man. It's MacGruber, Jaws, and Avengers.
Spot on. Age of Ultron. Wow. Yeah. Great job.
I don't ever remember seeing Jaws at that theater. Did I leave after?
No, you were there. That was a cool one. They were hosting a Jaws screening and we watched it and then we walked out into the lobby and reviewed the movie. It was pretty cool. Now, Age of Ultron.
I have no memory. When I say no memory of that, no memory of that. That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, it was
Age
Alamo
Ultron
Draft House.
Come up here in a few
emphasis
minutes,
on the Draft House.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. But I think Age of Ultron will come back up when Kent rolls some clips, because I believe that is where a very famous interaction in Mad About Movies history happened, was that screening. So, pray for that. Last one here. So, I mentioned episode 100 was our top, our 10 favorite movies of all time. Episode 200, we did our favorite TV shows of all time. Do you guys have any recollection of what episodes 300, 400, and 500 were?
Oh, shoot.
We did like best...
favorite movies of all time?
We did worst... We did least favorite movies of all time at one point, right?
We did. I believe that is episode 400. Yes. Episode 400. Okay. That's one of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we did
favorite actors.
That was later. That ended up being, I believe that was 700 or 800, one or the other.
Least favorite movies.
That was number 400. Yes. Episode 500 was movies of the decade 2000 to 2009. Okay. Episode 300.
Oh, movie scenes?
No, we've never done a movie scenes, although that's been requested several times.
Never even done that, Richard.
I have a list. I'm looking through my Google Docs, and I have movie scenes.
I think we just created another all-time moment right here.
That's funny. That's
movie scenes? Never
done that. My number one, the opening, or my number 10, the opening of Superbad.
It's good. Yeah.
Oh, hilarious. You've already made the list and we've never done a list.
I do think we talked about doing that at one point and then ended up not doing a list episode at that time. But episode 300 was guilty pleasures. Our favorite guilty pleasures. So this is my last question as a caveat to that. Do you remember what your favorite guilty pleasure movies were?
Oh, good grief.
Top of the list. Mine was the A-Team. So that's what we're dealing with here. I have Kent and Richards both.
I want to go Orange County.
That's correct. Orange County was your number one favorite guilty pleasure. Richard, any idea?
Probably Striptease.
Number one guilty pleasure movie of all time, according to Richard Barden, in somewhere around the year of our Lord 2018 or 19, I believe, was Hugh Grant, Music and Lyrics. So you stand by that. You're good.
Yeah, love Music and Lyrics. Yeah, I ride for that. The only thing I don't ride for that is what's the guilty part?
I believe the rule there was like it has to be rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what makes it qualify as guilty pleasure.
Sure. Yeah. Something like that. So that's a little trip down Mad About Movies memory lane. And I turn it back over to you, my friend.
Okay. We're still going to go down memory lane.
Thank you for doing that.
We're still on the ride.
This is my worst nightmare. I'm so anxious right now. Yes.
Let's give the listener a brief history of the show, though, first, because there's probably a lot of people that don't know how the show started, how we all met. Richard and I went to school together, starting in, I guess, middle school, all the way through high school, stayed in touch. When I went off and did music, I would hang out with Richard when I'd be back in town, things like that. And then when I went back to college, they gave me a radio show. And so Richard was a regular guest, co-host. Back in those
Kent
days.
Richard show.
Yeah. And
glorious Kent Richard show.
When I left college, we were like, how can we keep the show going?
Well, before you do that, I will say, I start you doing that with you every week. And one of the great joys of my life is that you two didn't know each other.
Mm.
And I got to say, hey, my buddy Brian and I met playing pickup basketball and a bunch of other stuff. Just stayed same social group for a few years there. And it was like, well, I'm going to bring my buddy Brian. He knows a lot about culture and movies and stuff. I feel like he'd be good on the radio. So we'll do this radio station thing in Fort Worth. And Brian was great on the show. And then I think I remember you being like, I couldn't make it one week, and you're like, get that Brian guy to come, and you guys did one without me, and then you became buddies, and then continue your part. But yeah, that's what I sincerely mean. One of the great thrills of my life is introducing you two.
Mm.
So when we stopped doing the radio show, this is about 2013 ish, or right around the start of
2012.
End of 2012, start of 2013. I think we might have actually had foresight. I think we might have actually started this pod before I stopped doing the radio show, because I didn't graduate until 2014. So we might have started it saying like, oh, you know, we're just going to keep doing this anyway. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was basically the movie segment was our favorite segment on the radio show. And the one that we always felt like we had the most news about. Because there's always movies coming out every single week, movie news, things like that. So the news cycle alone has kept the content of the show fresh. And so it's not changing anytime soon. I was just looking at the calendar today.
You got to give Kent a little credit here. We toss around the ideas of what we would do on a podcast. And I think Richard and I both were kind of in the camp of like sort of a pop culture happy hour kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was Kent who said, we got to focus it. We got to kind of pick a subject. So it could be sports. It could be whatever, but we got to kind of have a focus or we won't gain an audience. And I remember him saying that and
he was
spot right. On. The pop culture thing would have been fun to do, but we would have done it for 3 months and then, you know, that'd be the end of it.
Totally. And I was a pessimist about even doing it. The only thing in my life I've ever been early to ever was podcast. Mm-hmm. They changed. I think I started listening to podcasts like in 06 or 07, just sports. Like they put PTI on iTunes, you know, and you could do that. There was like 5 podcasts and I would listen to them. Always loved radio, always needed radio to fall asleep. I don't like the TV on. So I'd always listen to podcasts to fall asleep. So I was early to it. And so my point is, by the time we were talking about doing this in 2012, which is hilarious, I was like, oh, those are like, it's if we wanted to have a podcast, we should have had one 3 or 4 years ago. Like, we're too late.
Late to the party.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like interning on a podcast, I think in 09, you know, I was like, we're way too late and stupidly. And now it's like still people are still entering the game. Now mm-hmm. it's totally saturated 14 right. years later right. or whatever. But it was, yeah, I remember being really pessimistic. Like, it's so funny now because it's so, whenever I tell people, oh, I do a podcast and they go, oh, cool. How long have you been doing it? I'm like, since 2013, they're like, wow, God, you guys were like
right.
Magellan. Right. You know, it's like, I felt to us, we all felt like we were like right. 5 years right. late. It's funny. Yeah.
That is so funny. Yeah, that's true. And one of my favorite memories and something the listener might not know is Wondery started and we were one of the first podcasts that they were associated with. They called us, one. I think the first one that they actually like agreed, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to be, you know, y'all are going to be on Wondery. And I mean, we'll do we might do a VIP episode on this at some point and yeah, delve deeper into it. They still owe right. us money, by the way. I'll say that right. for the main fee.
He's in jail. So
yeah. You know. If you want to just, you know, hit them up on social media and ask them for our money, that'd be great. For us, we see their billboards all around town. I think they could.
In their defense, they pivoted to murder, and it was honestly great move by
right,
them.
Right. Yeah, and we actually if you guys remember, we used to have a fourth host, and we murdered him so that we could get into that Wondery yeah. money. But they were still just
yeah. Well, the problem interested. Is we gave away that we did yeah, it right on the first
yeah,
episode.
It was bad that's marketing on our part. Yeah,
I still have a coffee mug.
We'll be better.
From Wondery, that's probably worth like $9,000 right now.
I have it too. I used to scoop dog food with it. That was my dog food scoop.
Appropriate for how they handled it. Yeah. I mean,
I think they're now, by the way, I think they're a professionally run good operation now.
Sure.
It seems like.
Yeah.
We were just in their Wild West days when, you know, we would just talk to some bro and then uh-huh. sell ads
yeah.
and. Not pay us for a while. So.
Most definitely at that point, I can't vouch for this now, but I'm pretty sure they were using Click Farms in Korea for a lot
they
of 100% stuff on our stuff.
And we were so naive and stupid. They would send those to us, remember? And we'd be like, God, we're huge in Vietnam.
No, we would send them to them and be like, wow.
Oh, that's right.
And they'd be like, yep. And they wouldn't say anything. You know?
Yeah, it's weird.
We were getting, I mean, this podcast is forever has done well, but. During those years, our numbers were so inflated, not by us, but it's hilarious what they, you know, we were getting like 2 million downloads an hour all in, right. you know, Southern Asian.
Across the entire countries. Back catalog too, like episodes that were yeah. years old. We're just getting, wow, yeah. super relevant.
They must love the spectacular now in Singapore.
Well, that was a great memory. Let's get some of this audio rolling, though. As picked by the VIPs, I had such a great time going back through this audio. A lot of it was really cringe because of, you know, what we were talking about, the audio quality, how our voices sounded. I don't remember saying that type of stuff. So I highly recommend, if you've been here for a while, go back and just throw on an old episode and get a laugh because it will provide mainly laughs at this point. Super fun. And I just didn't realize the breadth of the bits and the origins of some of the ones that the VIPs wanted to hear. I couldn't find. I will admit, For instance, the cup bit from The Spectacular Now, went back and listened to that entire episode and listened to the end of the year episode where I figured we would talk about that movie, and there was no cup bit. So that must have come up organically in some other episode on some tangent. If you know where the clip of that is, please send them our way. Because there's just a lot of, I don't know, recurring jokes that are kind of like inside to the audience that I have no idea where they originated. They originated somewhere. I don't know where the audio is. It's somewhere in the episode, in the 1,000 hours that are out there. So, what I did find was really fun though. Let's get to it. Let's start with, I think, the most recent one. And this happened just a few weeks ago. Here we go.
Yeah, it's all good. But we are here in the VIP. We're going to talk a little throwback. A 26 year anniversary of Enemy at the State, right? I guess. Because that's
Enemy
at
the State. It's 25, but this is Enemy.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing Enemy. I'm sorry. My bad.
Enemy of the State? No joke.
I did, but I've seen Enemy.
Oh, my God. No, that's fine. This is amazing.
You know how I
do. Enemy of the State.
I figured it was a 25-year anniversary. I love that movie.
You're right. It is, but we're doing Enemy because of Denis.
That's right. Denny. That's fine. I have seen Enemy remotely. So, hey, but shout out to Gene Hackman. Great. great actor. All right. Well, this changes my notes a bit,
Will
but I'll
Smith,
get into it.
Man, just peak. Let's peak just Will review Smith. That. And
I reviewed it on Letterboxd yesterday. I've been writing Letterboxd reviews. I've been writing Letterboxd reviews for the last trying. That's my New Year's resolution.
It's actually this is
write
the best
reviews.
Episode ever. I'm so glad we decided to do this and not just.
No, you're right. I remember the conversation of this now that the reason we're doing it. Well, we're doing Enemy. Okay, that's fine.
Wow, Richard.
Amazing.
It's funny because we talked about it the week prior after we finished. Like, we're doing Enemy because of Denny. Cool. And I remember it once we brought it up, but it just went out of my brain. And then, then we texted like 5 days later. Okay, tonight is whatever the real episode was, and the throwback is you guys just said Enemy. I was like, oh, they must be talking Enemy of the State.
You thought we were shorthanding Enemy of the State in the group chat to Enemy?
Yeah, I did. I'm not a smart man, gentlemen. I'm not a smart man.
It made me laugh so hard just because of the randomness of that movie. I hadn't thought about Enemy of the State in 20 years, at least.
My mom's like top three favorite movies, even though I had a whole bit about that ready to rock. So if we ever do it, I'm ready to go. Great Tony Scott. Good movie.
That was the most recent one that we got that the VIPs wanted to hear again. Well, I would say over the 1,000 episodes, the number one moment was when we had MacGruber himself on the show. Will Forte.
That's so great.
So let's play a little clip from that. You know, every time there's MacGruber news, our Twitter mentions go crazy. And so I think we can call ourselves the official podcast of MacGruber. Is that okay? Can you anoint us that? Is there another MacGruber cast?
I don't know of any other official.
Okay, cool.
So yeah.
Good.
There it is. The most important thing that's ever happened on the show. Yeah.
It's official.
Officially the official podcast of MacGruber.
We should get certificates made to hang on our walls.
That is an accomplishment. I mean.
That was such a great interview too, man. Like, what a guy. What a great guy.
American treasure, Will Forte. Now absolutely. And forever. All right. Let's go to a little side tangent that happened in the VIP. This one's a little long, but it might be worth it.
This is a favorite of a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Sad story, by the way. Linda Hamilton's twin sister died in August.
Oh, that is sad. That's a B. Linda for both of them. Can't do it.
Deep drive to left field, Castellanos.
Yeah. Bring in him to see us out.
I might not ever put on this headset again, to be honest with you.
I am deeply sorry.
I'm deeply sorry.
Deep drive left
the end. Castellanos. That happened like yesterday. Did you see
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Are you eulogizing the
Did
guy?
Did you see that meme I sent you where it's just a sweet Barry Bonds follow through and it's like Nick Castellano if he played during 9/11.
Wow, that's dark. Did you see Barry Bonds' dog won Westminster?
Yeah.
We got to check that dog or something.
Yeah.
What is that dog on?
Yeah.
American Barry Bonds Treasure is like Barry half Bonds? His half
We
his
need to
size
remake
now,
Best
dude.
In Show and add just add oh Barry Bonds God. In as the sequel.
I'm holding
a lot of my
Get Busy Bee.
My junk wax era Barry Bonds cards for if he ever gets in the hall.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll happen, but
absolute travesty.
Right now they're worth 50 cents. Maybe they'll
best
be worth
baseball $2. Player I've ever seen with my own eyes.
I love Barry Bonds.
Absolutely
up,
ridiculous.
That was devastating when he had the steroid thing.
Who cares?
I didn't care about
do steroids. More steroids in baseball.
Steroids are cool. Yeah.
Brian and I talked ball. About this. Richard, I don't know if you're on this episode when I recommended the Ken Burns baseball because I had gone back and rewatched that. You know how there's always up in arms about cheating scandals. Now it's a sticky tax situation going on in baseball. Dude, there's been cheating in baseball on every facet forever.
Yes.
It's a part of the game. And so for anyone to say you're ruining the history of baseball, you don't know the history of baseball.
Well, they also had Negro leagues. So I'm not that far from the history. I'm not saying that,
but it's like,
but I'm just saying, like, the history of baseball can go pound sand as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And also, if you say it's like not fair to the players of the past, then go, okay, well, then no one gets to have LASIK. And if you tear your ACL, you just have to retire.
Maybe we should stop comparing my stats to a guy from
19. You're not allowed to ever use the Whirlpool because Babe Ruth didn't have one.
Exactly.
Right.
Kick rocks, baseball.
Babe Ruth's batting average was great in 1919.
Let Aroldis Chapman whip one at you and see if you can knock this out.
Yeah, because he didn't have CC Sabathia ripping 90 miles.
Right, 400 Jamie Moyers out there and just like
drunk.
Yeah. So in summary, Barry Bonds Hall of Fame best baseball player I've ever seen. Yeah.
Amen. Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. A+.
A+.
Linda Hamilton's sister's dead.
Yeah. And as
the
always.
Deep left.
As Let's always, rookie of the year, better than little big league.
Right, yeah.
Couple things that I regret not stopping down on harder in that cut. The Best in Show with Barry Bonds. Great idea. We should have done 10 minutes on that. That concept, flesh out the whole movie.
He plays himself?
Yes.
Yeah. He's taking Fred Willard's place.
No, you got to have Fred Willard involved.
I mean, now, you know.
Now you can't, but
I mean,
Fred Willard interacting with an unaware Barry Bonds would be pretty strong.
But the entire joke is that everyone thinks his dog is juiced.
Exactly. Yeah. That's more of like a Curb vibe than a like Best in Show, maybe. Yeah.
And another thing, genius by Richard. No one can get LASIK. Babe Ruth never had LASIK.
On a private plane, have to take a train to every game.
Right.
Yeah. It's the dumbest thing that baseball does is they're like, you can't take hormones to get jacked because some old racist couldn't do it.
Ty Cobb respected the game, you know, and other people probably, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Better hang. This is a real Sophie's choice here. Who's a better hang? Real Ty Cobb or who played Ty Cobb, Tommy Lee Jones? You got to hang out with one for a weekend. You got a beach house. What do you do?
I think I'm picking Tommy Lee Jones.
Well, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones is definitely a better person. Ty Cobb was awful. Like, I mean, just a horrible person. But this isn't about that. This is about hang.
Right.
And when you were talking hang, it's debatable, I would say.
Yeah. I think Tommy Lee Jones disapproves of literally everything you do the entire time you're together.
And he doesn't chip in for groceries.
No. And he wrecks the bathroom right off the bat, you know?
Yeah.
Tommy, your bathroom is disgusting.
That one took about 4 flushes.
Well, we have a Mad About Sports channel in the Discord where things like that are talked about constantly. So a lot of things have happened on the air in the history of Mad About Movies that are historic with us three. And let's roll back to a moment just a few years ago. Richard, you have a little story for us off the top here.
I do. So in February, we were doing Death on the Nile, or one of those, you know, the Agatha Christie.
It was Death Christie, on the Nile. Yep, that was
yeah,
one.
Agatha Christie cinematic universe. And we also did, I think, an AMA that night and a throwback. So it was a long record. We record, for those of you that don't know, we record oftentimes in the evening time. So it was a late night on a Monday night or something. And I was like, cool. Well, I finish up at about, we finish at like 11:30, three or four episodes, long night. Went into my bedroom and I went and washed my face. I did my whole nighttime routine. Seven beers, no biggie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no. And then I went to my nightstand and there was a pregnancy test. Ooh. And it was positive.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah. And I'm going to be a dad.
Whoa.
This is real?
This is real.
Wow.
This is how I found out back in February. So we've known for a while. We kept it kind of on lock.
Yeah, wow.
We're adding to the Mam Fam.
Congratulations. When can you get DNA checked to make sure that it's
yours? Well, you know, there's a lot, as you know, Brian, there's a lot of options.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
But
that's so great, dude.
Thank you.
For you. That's awesome.
We're very excited. You guys have, I know the gender. So
you
okay.
Do?
I do. We like, you know, my wife likes to plan. Do you guys have any guess? Do you guys have any?
I can see that.
Do you guys have any guesses?
It's one of four.
You got one of, yeah, it's 2022. Yeah. So you have one in 30 odds. Yeah.
I'm going with, knowing Richard, it's going to be a girl.
Okay.
Brian. I'll take the other side of that to make it. Okay. I'll go with boy.
All right.
You're going to reveal? It's gender reveal
Gender reveal. I save stuff for Marvel movies. Okay. This is when we get an audience.
This is one of the only good times to do it. Okay, go for it.
Congrats, Brian. Baby boy, yeah. Brian, wow. October 22.
Let's go.
That is awesome.
Luca, that's Dorian right. Barton, the sixth. Oh, yes. So pumped, man. So good.
Yep. Exactly. So we're very excited. So yeah. So October is going to be awesome. But I definitely want to tell you guys on the pod because I wanted that kind of for posterity to have the reaction. But
yes, you did.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm smiling.
I was going to tell you last week, but then I realized I hadn't told any of my family, so I thought I should tell them first.
Good on you, Richard, for
what a time
saving it for posterity's sake, and here we are playing it back.
Awesome. Well, he's a little hellion now, so I regret it. But, he's the best kid. Brian and I have a tie for that. We have the two best kids in the world. So
he was wearing a MacGruber wig the other day. He's super impressive.
MacGruber wig. Yep, he's walking now. It's all downhill from here. You know,
I'm trying to save some of the best clips for last. So don't worry, it's gonna get really good.
Yeah, none of that boring kid crap. Get to the good stuff.
Speaking of family, Brian's kid was basically born a couple months after the pod started. And how old is he now, Brian?
He'll turn 11 next month. So yeah, the pod is about 3 months older, 2 months older than he is. Three months older.
Which one? Just like being honest, like no pressure. Which one are you more proud of?
I mean, it depends on if he gets his math grades up. You know,
yeah, that's the 1,000 episodes, dude. Like,
right. I mean. You know,
what's he done?
What have you accomplished? You know, I'm big on accomplishments, obviously. Yeah. He was asking me tonight. He was like, wait, when did the podcast start? And I was like, literally your mom was like, are you serious? Like when I went to record the first episode, like, you're really going to do this right now? Okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah. So very, very soon after. Yeah.
Well, Brian has had Coop on the show a couple times in the VIP. It's honestly my favorite content that's ever been posted, anything associated with us. I had nothing to do with it. Brian would be a lot better off if he just ditched us and went and started a pod with Coop. And let's play a clip and you'll see why.
Okay, number two. I'm a little surprised that this one is not number one, to be honest. But I think you kind of debated going back and forth between number one and number two, where you were going to put this one. It's a movie we saw in theaters. And then you've watched, I don't know, how many times do you think you've watched Sonic the Hedgehog?
500.
I think that's probably a fair estimate. What's the funniest part of Sonic the Hedgehog?
When at the beginning he says, "When I'm someone's chasing me with a mad man with the mustache from the Civil War." That's hilarious.
What about the part where the crazy old man says, "I know you're out there"? What do you remember what he says to that part? That's the part you always crack up.
"I know you're real." "No, I'm not." That proves he's real.
I know. It makes no sense, but it's funny, right? Uh-huh. Okay. You know they're making another Sonic movie, right?
Yes. I totally forgot.
That's one that we super can't wait for sure. If they made, if I told you that they were going to make 20 Sonic movies, would you be in for that?
I'd flip out.
Flip out. Do you know that Sonic is a video game? Have you ever played the video game?
I've seen Luke play it, though.
Okay. All right. Maybe we need to get Sonic for... I bet there's a Switch game for Sonic. Something like that. We need to check that out. We talk about Sonic the Hedgehog a lot on Mad About Movies. We kind of make a joke about how it's going to be the best movie of the year because there weren't very many movies that came out. But do you think that it should be up there for best movie of the year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I should.
I mean, just try not to smile listening to that.
He was good at that stuff, man. He always wants, he's asked me many times to do a podcast, and I keep kind of like to start his own podcast. I'm like, you don't want any of this stuff. You don't want to get into this world, you know, and all the drugs and groupies and whatnot. But yeah, eventually that's on his, that's something he'd really like to do. So I appreciate the VIPs listening to those episodes and giving feedback and stuff. He loves doing that stuff, and I like hanging out with him and doing shared things that we both like doing. So those were cool episodes. Yeah.
Well, we could not do a retrospective without shouting that out.
Absolutely not.
It's so awesome. Can't wait for the Jude cast here in a few years.
He's profane, man.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be in the VIP.
Right. It's a Scorsese movie for him, like every time. Yeah.
His big thing right now is just saying uh-oh a lot. So if we did a bad movie, it could be good. You know? What'd you think of Zack Snyder? Uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh.
Sign me up for that. Well, I apologize because I've stopped down the show a few times and the VIPs wanted to hear some of these. I apologize in advance, but here are a few of the times that I've stopped down the show due to laughter or something else, or maybe just a point that was stupid in a few cases. So here's one of those. I believe this came from a list episode of some type.
All right, Brad Guy, what about you? Number six. Wow, we're plowing.
We're moving along. Number six for me... Hurts and
Locker.
And also it's weird because it's technically
rent
a
car?
Movie.
Those OJ commercials.
Hurts. The whole company.
Very loyal to Dollar.
Sorry.
This is a weird one because it's technically a movie that doesn't exist. And so that's
someone thought of gold memories.
That's odd. That
you don't even have to check it, you just walk right to your car.
At number six on my list is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Ooh,
a movie that again I've never seen. It doesn't
just
exist.
The hypothetical idea.
Just the idea of it. When you find out
that
Indiana Jones is actually chasing aliens in Area 51 and stuff.
I wish I had thought of that. That's a good one. But it doesn't exist. So.
Quick Crystal Skull story. I don't think my wife and I were dating at the time, but we're close to dating at that point.
Yeah.
I had gone to see Kent's dying over here with the hurts. You never see
skip
Kent
the counter.
Like this is usually you or I. Kent is dying. Kent is dying. I bought tickets to see Kingdom of the Crystal
thing.
Skull.
You go number six. Hurts. The rental car. Sorry.
It's a different top 10.
Alamo or bust, bro.
Obviously, I'm loyal to Enterprise, but
speaking of, you know, when you're a kid, you're so naive. those We'll Pick You Up Enterprise commercials.
Yeah.
Speaking of the rental car biz, they would always have that. For some reason, the car would show up, and it was wrapped in like wrapping paper,
right, with the bow and stuff.
And I was a really dumb kid because I also thought the Orchid Man was an actual Terminator, and he killed bugs that way.
To your house,
and I'd always look at my mom and be like, man. "No, one of my friend's dad was an Orchid Man." I was like, "That is the most BA thing cool ever." Yeah. He just zaps roaches. I had no idea. But then I was dumb with the Enterprise thing. I was like, "That's really dangerous. That car is 100% wrapped. I don't want them to pick me up in that. Like, Mom, don't rent from Enterprise because that is 100% wrapped in that cardboard wrapping paper stuff." It's yeah. like, that's a death trap.
Oh, no memory of that. No memory of that. That's terrifying.
You thought the Orchid Man was a Terminator?
I did. I did think the Orchid. Because that commercial, he was in this cool Terminator right. suit. And I was yeah. like, I thought, how else would you kill bugs? He could help me out right now with his.
Not
going to
squish him, obviously.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I remember that. I believe we were in Kent's Frisco apartment for that recording and doing a batch of these things, and Kent was just dying, like just dying, just couldn't trying to keep it off mic and like almost cry laughing.
The way
my
you,
favorite
it was the way you said it when you said number six hurts, and then it was like a long pause, and I was. In today's day and age, we would have made a Jalen joke, but all right, let's go with another one they wanted to hear, which is, I believe it occurred on the main feed, but I could be wrong. Here we go.
Kevin McAllister has sneakily covered the stairs in ice because he knows you got to go down the stairs to get in the house. Covers the stairs in water, they ice over. And Stern goes down the stairs, slips and falls on the concrete, and says, he goes, ow. Like he's actually
yeah.
like kind of surprised how much that yeah. hurt. Like, uh-huh. like yeah. that's like, shockingly hurt. Like I knew that was going to hurt, but not that bad. But he just yeah. does it. And the way he delivers that line is just so peak. I just like, burst into laughter at the last reviewing of that line, and I can't even say it. This next line, when towards the end of that scene, Kevin kind of escapes, and they're like searching for him, and Kevin goes down the zip line, and Stern, they're like, "Where'd he go? Where'd he go?" And Stern goes, sticks his head out the window, and goes. Maybe he committed suicide.
Yeah, so dark.
It's like,
such a dark comment. Yeah. This kid's home alone by himself. His family left him. Maybe he just offed himself.
But he says it. Yeah. He says it in like a joyful manner. Like, what a relief. Maybe he committed suicide.
Yeah.
It's so horrible. But like, I couldn't stop laughing at it.
Kent loves Daniel Stern so much. It's, oh my God. I think he's your favorite comedian.
I'm crying right now. It's so funny.
You have great taste.
Oh, man.
We get so few glimpses of the Kent giggle. That's like my favorite thing ever.
Oh, Stern just kills me, man.
Comedy peaked.
30 years later. 30 years. Yeah. You're dying.
Comedy peaked.
Which is, we share that. We share that. Stern's the man.
The absolute man, and would love to have him on the show at some point. We need to make that happen. Let's see here. I mean, it would not be a Mad About Movies look back without talking about draft day. Right? One of the moments when I knew that this pod would last forever, just with us three. I mean, nobody would be listening, but just the conversations we had made me die. Here's one of them. From the draft day episode.
The worst to me was when he walks into the weight room and the strength and conditioning coach comes over and is like, Hey, Sonny, did you hear what Brian Drew did today? He threw up 400 on the squat and 185 on the bench press, 120, you know, whatever. And then he's like, and our all pro wide receiver, you know, LeBron Masters, yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
He told like, he would know who he is. You don't have to say our all pro wide receiver. Like that is inherent in the, he is the GM of the team. Like that's not something that you have to throw in.
Yeah,
that drove me crazy. But to get to that, your point, Kent, on the sentimentality, like Sonny Weaver is a wholly unlikable character. Yeah. So let him be that. Let him be just like a curmudgeon, like a grumpy old man who gets the job done because he's a tough old guy. He's old school or whatever. Stop trying to play this false sentimentality to make him a likable person when he is clearly not a likable person. Yeah. And neither is anybody else in this movie. Like, just let it be gross and gritty, you know, like that would have served it much better.
Yeah. And touching on that, the subplot with Kevin Costner's dad dying and his mom comes to his office on draft day.
Gosh.
And has the urn full of ashes and is trying to get Kevin Costner to go spread the ashes on the Browns practice field. Not the game field, by the way. Practice field.
Well, he's all about practice.
During the draft day, and he's like, "Mom, I'm not doing it on draft day. Get out of here." And she gets super, super
such
upset
an
about it.
Teenager response, yeah. Too, like, "Oh, I'm getting out of my office,
and
I'm trying to have the freaking draft in here." And gosh,
he goes off and does something else. Comes back like 20 minutes later, looks out his window. His mom's standing in the middle of the field with the urn, She's like, screw you. I'm going to go spread your father's ashes without you. This can't be done another day or anything. Yeah, it has to be done.
It's not the biggest day of your entire year or anything.
What a horrible movie. What an absolutely horrible movie that is.
I mean, worth it for that bit alone. I mean, how many times have we referenced the urn in 10 years since that?
Gosh, man.
I mean, every draft day, I think about the urn.
We're coming up on season. Are we 10 years past yet? We're about that, 2014?
Yeah, yeah.
When was that movie?
Could do a little retrospective screening?
Yeah, maybe. Have we done a live commentary on that one? That could be fun.
We should. Yeah. I have not gone back and watched that probably since we did that episode.
No, I haven't either.
Don't think I could make it.
Yeah, it was 2014. That's this year. Wow. Wow.
Chadwick Boseman, may he rest in peace.
Yeah, Vontae Mac, no matter what.
Well, let's get to another iconic movie in the history of Mad About Movies. The one that really, I think, put us on the map, and according to the internet, will be our legacy. According to Wikipedia, I should say, will be our legacy, which is Now You See Me. And I mean, just a movie that has brought all of us together, fellas, from around the world. Now You See Me has blessed us with so many relationships, and we are inching closer to Now You Three Me, and it'll just be a celebration, another jamboree. Can't wait for that. But let's go back to the origins of our hatred for Now You See Me. And back in, I think this is 2013. Here we go.
If you're not looking for the things that are really, really wrong with this, then you could maybe get away with not seeing them. That said, this might be the worst non-horror script that has ever made it to a theater.
Brian, this script has been online and out since like 2008.
Because I'm looking at the guys who wrote this movie. And I'm looking in particular at Ed Solomon's page, okay? He has credit for episodes of Gary Shandling's show, but he's also got Super Mario Brothers movie, The In-Laws, Charlie's Angels. I mean, so I want to know which of these he's actually responsible for and which he just, like, had two lines of input in, because it can't be this. The same person cannot be responsible for The Gary Shandling Show and Now You See Me, because this is a horrific script. There is no part of this movie that makes even an ounce of sense.
Oh, come on.
There's nothing. There's three magicians. I can't wait to get into specifics, but keep talking. Yeah, well, we should say up front to the listener, we are gonna just we're gonna go so far into specifics today, and I don't care anything about spoilers because this movie is crap.
I hope I spoil this movie for all of you. I hope I ruin it because you don't need to go see it. I hope you were planning to go see it. You accidentally listen to this podcast, have it spoiled, and go see Fast and Furious 6 again. Yes. That's my wish, because if you're going to see this, don't. And I'm just going to say right now, I'm not saying spoiler alert, but Mark Ruffalo's this magician the whole time. And screw you if you're going to go see it anyway.
You know what the funny part about that is?
I'm dead.
I remember that recording. So Kent and I saw that movie like probably 2 months before that episode, because we went to a screening for it, which was its own funny story we've covered on the pod before, which I'm happy.
Yeah, you guys went to see it while like I missed an episode because Cooper was born, and y'all at some point in there went to see it. I think talked about it on that the Place Beyond the Pines episode. Like,
I think it was the Fast Six. I think it was to Richard's point. Okay. I think it was the week before on Fast Six when we. We're like, all right, here's a little preview of what's to come next week. And we did like a little mini review teaser type of thing. That's what he's referencing.
I want to say, I've since come around. I love Now You See Me. It's a great film. And I apologize. But I was in Baltimore, the one in Maryland. And I was in Baltimore for work. And I like got delayed, whatever. Didn't have lunch. Didn't have dinner really till late. And so I remember I got there. Finally got to my hotel, and the only thing close by was a Five Guys, and I was on an expense account, so I got like $40 in Five Guys, which is not that much.
Yeah, that's a fries and a small burger, right?
It was like a burger. I think I got a dog, and I got like cheese fries and like a Coke or something, and I ate it all in about 4.5 seconds because I was starving in my hotel room. So this was at like probably 8 o'clock Eastern time, and then we started recording maybe 9:30 Eastern time. And let's just say that whole episode, I was fighting for my life, and I was still able to muster that level of vitriol for you guys, for the listeners. So you're welcome.
We're pros. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember just sweating and like just clenching for that entire at a desk in like a, you know, Spring Hill Suites.
I think that's when I was studying abroad, which is why I sounded so weird in that clip. I think I did it at like 2 a.m. or something.
You did. You were in London or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember coming home from the bar, like leaving my friends at the bar to go do that episode, which was well worth it.
Can't go out, guys. Got to go record a podcast.
No. Well, okay, I did go out, sure, but it was so late that I just went straight from out to doing the episode, which made
jokes
for
on them. Yeah. Right.
Well, let's go to another iconic movie in the history of the show that we've referenced, laughed at multiple times since. Jurassic World, fellas. Oh, here we go.
This is a classic.
Like the original Brontosaurus from Jurassic Park is like dying on the island. It's like, this is your childhood, kids, and it's dying in front of you. And you're just crying.
Yeah,
as
that
it's,
was so, and I have, Brian knows this about me. Dinosaurs like, non-human things dying. I'm like, put me in such a bad mood the whole time.
Yeah, and then the rest of the movie is
really
essentially unwatchable.
Dark.
Yeah,
gosh, yeah.
And then they go to a dinosaur auction for an hour.
best eBay that I've ever been a part of, personally. Like, yeah. It's spoilers. The prices that people were paying for dinosaurs felt way low to me. Yeah. I don't like.
Yeah.
Like one of the Ankylosaurus was like $10 million sold.
And they were like surprised by that number too.
That's like a fancy car. Think of all the money that's been put into creating these things. That just seems really
think
low.
Think how many athletes make over $10 million a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just imagine
with like a 1970s.
The auction scene, which we have beat this dead horse into the ground for the last 4 years. Of how ridiculous the auction sequence is for all of these
still
dinosaurs.
Makes me giggle, though, every
and
time.
How it's like, you know.
This
you
can, extinct dinosaur resurrected from 65 million years of extinction. Billions and the opening
of
bid is $15,000.
Not even a top 50 player in the NBA could buy 17 of these dinosaurs this year.
Jordan Poole is a collector of dinosaurs.
Exactly.
I mean, It's insane. It's just utterly insane. And we had such a good time with it in the moment.
You'll laugh at this, Brian. With Dr. Grant, the door is locked and he's trying to open the gate, right? In this underground facility. I'm 99% sure that he typed 6969 and it worked. And he goes, wait, that actually worked.
That's what Malcolm, I really think that's what he typed into. That was the best scene in the movie. Honestly, it was nice.
That happened so fast I missed it.
Yeah,
but
it's
I
so quick.
Credit.
It's like
that's
you
funny.
Have to be yeah. like they didn't
this
say
the
it.
The one joke that landed for me.
I had totally forgotten about that. Who could forget the auction?
Jay Leno buying dinosaurs is maybe my favorite bit in the history of this show.
There's an aircraft hangar in like Manhattan Beach that Jay Leno is like, I don't disconnect them. I work on them and I feed them.
Right.
I got the Indoraptor on the way. Wow.
Remember Trevorrow tweeted at us or Kent? I can't remember. Yeah. Like, oh, did you guys think it was too low? Because we talked about that for like a long time. Like, yes, we thought it was too low. Are you freaking serious? Like, oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, I think he like hopped in a thread or something on Twitter where I was talking about it and was like, wait, it's too low. He's like, he said that they had multiple meetings on it beforehand to make sure that people wouldn't think that. It's like, really? You landed on 10 million for a freaking T-Rex? Cool.
A herd of dinosaurs for 7 million if you buy them all. It costs a lot to feed, you know? So it's just so stupid. So stupid.
So good. All right. Here's another time I took us off the rails. And this was a request from Batman Shane, who just appeared on that last clip. Shout out Batman Shane.
Somebody also tweeted us and said, I hope this gets a passing grade or so. I hope it's a bearable experience for you guys. And I replied and said, as long as I leave Galileo out of it, I'll be fine. Galileo is in the movie. They couldn't even get through this without ruining Galileo's legacy. Again, guys, what are they doing? Galileo rolling over in his grave.
For some reason people latched onto that.
Yeah, came up multiple times since then. Yeah. Yeah. Kent's just outrage about one of the Transformers movies dragging Galileo.
He stands, Kent's got his principles.
Yeah. Yeah. A man got to have a code, you know? And Kent's is that. Yeah.
So good.
I love it.
Those movies. Honestly, I think I had to listen to 3 or 4 Transformers episodes to figure out which one
tough,
it is.
Man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's no good.
But I found it. No Don't good. Worry. Something else I found. Get ready, Richard, because we didn't really publicize this at the time at all. I think we laughed about it probably between ourselves, but I think what happened was Richard went to like a work meeting that he couldn't get out of and had to do the episode right after. And as you know,
it wasn't a meeting. It was a happy hour.
Right.
I don't just roll like that at 2 p.m. on a.
Well,
I was the. Yeah,
it was 2 p.m. I don't recall that.
No, I'm saying I don't. Not what I wouldn't do that if it was just a meeting. It was a evening happy hour and dinner.
So oftentimes what happens in business situations is you got to hang out. You got to have a few drinks, you know, show people that you're not a loser, which is what happened that night. And we had an episode booked, and Richard's like, cool, I'm good, let's go. And I don't know, you tell me. Here's a piece of that.
I'm mortified.
I didn't know this would be my favorite film ever, and it kind of is. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
No, it's awesome, though. It's so stinking good. And Sly is the thing that makes it like from... I'm enjoying myself too. Wow. This is really good. It's 100% how good just Sly randomly brings it for this movie. Yeah. It's absolutely like peak Copland Sly. By the way, he's good, Hollywood. Like, if you use him correctly, nothing wrong with Stallone. He's a total movie star, and he's a good actor if you use him correctly. I don't know why we haven't done... Like, why was Sly not in The Departed? He would have been better than Jack Nicholson. I don't understand. Like, there's so many good Sly roles that people just don't give to him because they think he's dumb. But Sly is great, and he's not just Expendables guy. Like, he's not expendable. Wink.
Got him.
Wow!
Oh, yeah!
Sunglasses on.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But he really is good. Like, if you use him correctly, he has a very small part of the pie. But if you cut his pie correctly, he's perfectly fine to excellent. And
he's got two gears. If you just stick him in one of those gears, you're doing well. Like, he
has cheesy Sly gear, which is great. I'm fine with that. And he has like Copland Creed Sly gear, which is like way better than Mickey Rourke or anybody else out there. Like, he's freaking awesome. The script is the weakest part of this, but that's fine because it's so well directed, so well acted, and oh my gosh, Michael B. Some of these boxing scenes are, I mean, it's like watching an actual sporting event, and you get so hyped and so nervous, and it's fabulous. So this is up there, guys. This is one of my favorite movies this year. I love this movie.
Yeah, I take back that a couple of those Sly takes. I was just feeling myself. Just, you know, love Sly still, but you know, I don't know how many times I could say if you use him correctly. That was, I'm not kidding, maybe 7 to 8 bourbons in, because these my like bosses were supposed to, these like older, you know, nothing more dangerous than the guys that hate their wives that are traveling on business. Yeah. And they like came into town. I was no part of it. And then like my bosses couldn't take them to dinner, and they were just like, Richard, show them a great time. And it's like, you know, it's like a Tuesday at 5:15. Right. So
yeah,
like
I go to Cheddar's.
So I went to some, and they were just total duds, like just the most boring, but they wanted to like drink heavily.
Right.
And so I, you know, I obliged, and it was a rough one. I apologize, guys. I do oftentimes like to sip. I don't drink during the week normally. I make up for it on the weekends. Don't worry, everyone. But I like to sometimes sip a beer while we record because I feel like it kind of takes my nerves away a bit. Yeah, yeah, mellows a bit. Plus, it's not really about the show. It's more about being able to go to sleep right after the show.
Sure.
Instead of being up till 1:30 thinking about what I said. So whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that was above and beyond. But that was, you know, good content. I was just alive.
I have. That was a time in the show.
We're not done yet. Let's.
Oh, okay.
We got it. Yeah, we're not done yet. So Richard is, if you can't tell, a happy drunk.
I am.
But that was the day giveaway to me. It was like, wow, he's never been this positive about a movie in the history of the show. He said like 19, like best cinematography. Oh my God, the acting. Holy crap. I mean, he's not wrong.
This is a great movie. Yeah.
But Richard's not the person that would like be saying that. It'd be Brian or I that would just be gushing, and Richard would have, you know, humorous comments and just so energetic. I mean, the most energy you've ever had. So I maybe encourage have one or two before you're coming on the air if you have that much, that much energy. So one of the best things to
I'm going to pick one random movie. That's a promise. I will pick a random movie this year, and I'm not going to tell you guys. And 1 minute before, I'm going to be like, I'm tanked, and I took tomorrow off. I will do that. Before, in the year of our Lord 2024, I'll do that.
Just make sure it's behind the paywall so we don't get canceled forever.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One of my favorite things.
Ken doesn't care about being canceled. He doesn't want to have to edit it all out.
Right. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
To me, which is fair.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The funny part of the funniest part to me about that Creed episode is, especially in that era of the show, Richard and I would pretty routinely just get us off track doing bits, and Kent would have to pull us back on because it's not that Kent's not fun or didn't want to do fun bits too. It's because Kent was having to do all the work. It's very easy for Richard and I to do stupid jokes that Kent can cut out later. Kent's over here being like, God dang it, guys. Like, I'm going to have to work on this now.
Yeah.
And that was one of those where Richard texted me and was like, I had too much to drink at dinner. Like, was just like, I'm in trouble here. And I was not helping, I don't think. In retrospect, it was quite a fun time. And Kent, poor Kent is like, oh, Lord, this is going to be so much work on my end.
I'm just heavy on the mic.
We became like pros later, but yeah.
Yeah, when I think about I've literally edited every single second of this show. So,
right.
I mean, cut me some slack sometimes. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I think Kim was like, guys, please just let me have this. Like, let me go to bed tonight. We're like, oh, yeah, sure. And not helping at all.
I will say to the listener, though, I mean, there's got to be hours of stuff that I've cut from the show.
Oh, for sure.
You guys go for 10 minutes on something and I'm just like letting it go. Cause I'm like, oh, it's not gonna make the show anyway. Just let them tire themselves out. That's my thought.
So we get political, yeah. Right?
Right. Right.
When we die. Yeah. When we go full Rogan.
And you guys never listen to the show too. So you never know what I cut
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I don't even, you could cut us all out entirely. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You would never know.
You could be telling everyone you have your own podcast and no one else.
This is the only time I've ever listened to our show. So this is, it's good.
Well, like I said, I'm not done. One of the best things to do to confirm if somebody is a little inebriated, slow down the audio just a little bit. Let's listen to Richard drunk, slowed down version. Here we go.
I didn't know this would be my favorite film ever, and it kind of is my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
No, it's awesome though. It's so stinking good, and Sly is the thing that makes it like from I'm enjoying myself to wow, this is really good is 100% how good just Sly randomly brings it for this movie. Yeah. It's absolutely like peak Copland Sly. By the way, he's good, Hollywood. Like,
one of my other favorite parts of this is Richard cannot like continue on one idea. He just keeps bouncing to like, oh, here's another idea. By the way, Hollywood.
Can I give myself some credit? I want to give myself some real credit here because I deserve to be dunked on for this, understandably. But the fact that I said stinking, that tanked.
Yeah, that is pretty.
That's
incredible.
Some next level control. Yeah. So you're
I
welcome.
I appreciate you. Even in that state, PG. Trying to help me keep my job.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a little bit more of this. Here we go.
If you use him correctly, nothing wrong with Stallone. He's a total movie star, and he's a good actor if you use him correctly. I don't know why we haven't done... Like, why was Sly not in The Departed? He would have been better than Jack Nicholson.
Jack.
I don't understand. Like, there's so many good Sly roles that people just don't give to him because they think he's dumb. But Sly is great, and he's not just expendables guy. Like he's not expendable. Wink.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Sunglasses on. Yeah,
exactly. But he really is good. Like, if you use him correct, he has a very small part of the pie, but right. If you cut his pie correctly, he's perfectly fine to excellent.
Oh my gosh. That is just classic. I'm so glad that happened.
I'm doing it again. Bringing it back. You guys will find out later this year.
All right. A couple more to get through here before we sign off for the evening. This has been really fun, by the way. If you have
good times,
the main thing was if you could be very specific, say, oh, it was this episode, pull the clip and play it. I'll do it. If it's one that we're not playing on this episode, maybe we do another one of these for the VIPs and play some more if we can find more clips. That is, so that's the main issue here is just how much audio there is to go through. By the way, if somebody wants to sign up, be the official Mad About Movies historian, I think the role is currently open.
Yeah.
You know, keep track of these, pull clips, keep clips, things like that. All right. Let's go to one of our live shows. I believe this was at MacGruberthon, Brian, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
So let's see.
Daniel and Catherine, come on over here as well. We're talking about movies tonight. Sir, let me ask you, Carlos, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Get down, Brown. Let's see what he's got.
He's thinking about it.
Stroking the imaginary bear.
You may want to go there while he thinks. This is bad radio.
I would have to say...
I just fell asleep. Wow.
The Goonies. Nice.
Wow.
Nice. Hey,
what about you, ma'am?
Right now, it is definitely Blended.
Blended.
There we go.
Starring Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Okay.
And
all
Brooklyn
right.
Decker.
It's actually my favorite movie right now as well.
Great line by Richard right there. Now, and Brooklyn Decker. Love that. The question was favorite movie of all time. It wasn't like, what are you watching right now? What's your favorite movie at the moment? It's favorite movie in the history of movies. And we got a strong answer with Goonies. Started off strong. And
right now.
Right now. That's the funniest part to me. It's just right now.
Right.
Definitely Blended.
It changes daily. Every day.
Definitely Blended.
My dream is to, the only way I could think we could consistently improve upon this show is to do that more. Kent on a live mic,
Kent
on a portable,
is incredible in a live.
He's
mic,
good at that, and getting out there and interviewing people, and then me and you getting to make jokes where the people can't hear us,
right?
But Kent can, and we can try to bust him up. That's my dream show. Yeah.
We should.
I'm just in Ken's ear, just doing bits as fast as I can. Yeah.
It's
trying.
Kent's incredible in that set. We need to do that again, just so the people can see Kent in his element. He comes alive.
I think there's something to just interviewing
carving through people,
too. Interviewing people as they come out of the theater too, because they have hot, like you know, things to say and all that is really fun. So yeah, we'll maybe get back into that at some point. That was a lot of fun. Got put on hold when the pandemic started and never got back on track. So let's get that going. All right. One more thing we got to play here. And this is news to you fellas as well. No. We used to do with our, we used to have a lot of guests on the show, by the way. We haven't had a lot of guests other than regulars recently, but we used to have a lot of random guests. And these are people that would listen to us, but were joining us for the first time. As a guest. So, you know, they're unfamiliar with our workflow. And Richard and I came up with a joke to what if when they join, we're doing a fake podcast, you know, another podcast recording. And the subject of these fake podcasts was umbrellas. So like, what if they, when they join, they're in the middle of a fake umbrella podcast. Let's see how long we can keep that going before they get confused, leave the thing. Chime in. So here, for the very first time, is 10 minutes of that. And this is only three of the occurrences. I think there's about 20 in my archive. This is the first time I've ever pulled this audio up since it's been recorded.
Wow.
We had planned on doing a whole episode. If people like this and want to hear the whole thing, let us know and we'll make it happen. But it'll take some work. Behind the scenes, of course. So, here now, for the very first time, in public, is the umbrella bit. Here we go.
Hello. Hey, real quick, we're wrapping up one other show we do, and then we'll get you on. Is that work?
Yep, I'm here ready to go.
Awesome. Give us 2 minutes.
Okay, no problem.
You there, Richard?
So here is my issue is you can completely draw a line, in my opinion, from, I guess, the lack of umbrellas in modern society, whether that's in pop culture or just on the street. You know, people are more mobile now. The ride sharing community, people don't have their own vehicle a lot of times. They don't too. But anyway, I think you can draw that line from less umbrellas to Brexit. And I don't think it's that hard to do, but
don't you think, I mean, just to kind of wrap up this conversation, don't you think the Umbrella Academy is bringing back umbrellism awareness? Like, don't you think that's probably the main thing it's doing?
I mean, yeah, but
like, when's the last, you mentioned pop culture. When's the last piece of pop culture that you can remember that had anything to do with umbrellas at all?
Yeah, but
Mary Poppins, what was that, 1951?
Yeah, 60s. Yeah, but my issue with that, my pushback on that would be.
And we're trying to differentiate the umbrellas from the villains. Like,
yeah.
Umbrellas are way too associated with villains, like the Penguin. No, you know, totally. You know, you're tapping the umbrella whole thing. It's never associated with joy, you know, only in the '50s, only Mary Poppins, Singing with the Rain. And did we have these umbrellas were like this joyous occasion where you can have your umbrella and go out and fly around a telephone pole and just enjoy umbrellas.
Right.
You know,
my
freely.
Thing would be with that is that with the Umbrella Academy, they are bringing back umbrellas as a utility. But it's not a collecting thing. You know, I was in New York over the weekend. It rained the whole time I was there. And they were, you know, they just have disposable umbrellas everywhere.
Ugh.
And that's, yeah. And
I just puked my coffee out. I literally just puked coffee out.
It's a one-use thing. But anyway, we'll talk about that more on the VIP feed. Real quick, before we go, Bespoke Post is the best service for all of you umbrella enthusiasts out there, even you other enthusiasts out there. I know we have a lot of coaster heads. We have quite a few toothpick folks out there. We have quite a bit of bandana guys. But, you know, whatever your thing is, Bespoke Post will send you a custom box. This is really cool stuff. They send something to Kent and I. They put in custom umbrellas for us, which is a great touch. But I highly recommend Bespoke Post. But to get a special deal, Bespoke Post, you can go to bespokepost.com and use the promo code UMB. That's UMB for Mad About America. You snickered, you bastard. Hey, how's it going, man? DJ, we always do a fake umbrella show and see how long people sit through it. How's it going?
I'm good. I was on mute, so you guys go for it if you want.
Would you subscribe?
Would you listen to our hypothetical umbrella-only podcast?
I mean, you guys had me there for a couple minutes, so might as well.
My point with that would be, sure, okay, you're focusing on the umbrella?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, one second. Hey, Jonathan, just a second. We're finishing up this podcast, and we're going to add you in here. Just a second. Stay on the line. Cool?
Yeah.
Cool. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, sorry. No, and so, yeah, it's an umbrella. Obviously, you're that is the focus of what you're doing. But by definition, an umbrella is an accessory. It's an add-on. And so when you make the umbrella the focus, I'm bored. I'm just bored by it.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're talking fashion versus function, some umbrellas choose fashion. Some choose function. You're obviously a fashionist, or a fascist, as I like to call them sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Brian's a known fascist. Mm-hmm. And having said that,
just to be clear, fascist in the terms of only umbrellas, not political ideology.
Right.
I understand the confusion there.
You're a big Muslim.
I mean, I have thoughts, obviously, about some things that were done well and maybe some things that were done wrong. But just as an umbrellist, I am fully a fascist. I just want to make sure that the listener understands the
right. You're a fascist umbrellist. Right.
Right. Right.
And and so just to clarify, the sign in your lawn that says "I am a fascist," you mean fashion umbrellist, Richard? I believe we have an ad read here.
Yeah, if you'd like. But before we get to that, we just want to tease. We are doing our weekly. We're going monthly umbrella recommends right after this. So. Yeah, right after this, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I know a lot of people out there, a lot of our Mad About Umbrellas fam out there are looking always to make the best financial decision. And for me, that was Rocket Mortgage.
With Rocket Mortgage, I was able to log on from Quicken and get approved for a mortgage in 30 seconds. That's right. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken gave me the ability to house all of my umbrellas, all of my movies, all the other podcasts that we do here at my new home. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken. Get the app today.
All right. You ready for, Richard, was there a promo code there for Rocket Mortgage?
Oh, pardon me. Gosh. Yeah. I'll just key that back up. If you can just add that back in. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Head over to rocketmortgage.com and use the promo code UMB. That's it always gets. Hey, what's going on, man? Sorry, we do a fake umbrella podcast and see how long people can take it. What's going on, Jonathan?
I know. Okay. There's never a time where you don't need an umbrella.
And right.
That's what the point I'm trying to get across to people is that you don't only need umbrellas when it's raining or when it's sunny. Because think about that. It's either raining or sunny all the time. So you need one all the time, you know?
Not to mention the fashion piece, you know.
But what about when it's just cloudy or nighttime?
Yeah, Brian mentioned fashion. It's fashion versus function, Richard. You always weigh those two. The whole deal with umbrellism is that you have to get past function as your number one precedent for an umbrella.
But it's kind of like wearing a tuxedo to bed at a certain point. Who's seeing you? You know what I mean? If you're just taking the dog out or something on a calm night where it's not raining, why do I have to bring a $1,500 umbrella? You know, I'm not saying that's what I think. I'm just saying that's what the other side says.
But imagine if you're out walking the dog at, you know, whatever, 11 or 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And I don't know, just for example, we live in Dallas. So maybe Luka Doncic is out walking his dog as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's carrying his umbrella because he's freaking Luka Doncic. So think about what an idiot you would feel like if you weren't also packing heat, you know? I don't want to risk it. I'm not saying it's likely at all. Like, I understand that he probably doesn't even live in the same neighborhood as I do, but it's possible. And I carry that with me of like thinking what an idiot I would, how stupid I would feel like if I wasn't.
It's kind of the same reason I always keep 5 guns on me at all times. Cause what if they get to my other 4?
Who would leave their house in a $1,500 umbrella? Like in a $1,500 umbrella.
Pretty low rent for Kent. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get through.
I was just gonna say if we could go 20 minutes.
I'm a 10 carat kind of guy. Yeah, almost 10 carat everything.
Yeah, gold tipped is just abhorrent.
Gosh,
promo code it might be my masterpiece.
Brian,
the worst promo code.
Brian saying packing heat. How did I not die when he said, Luca, you know he's going to be packing heat?
Oh, man. What a great bit. We need to bring that back. I vote for the full episode, Kent.
Those were really funny. We were funny back then. Great bit. What happened to us?
Remember when we used to have energy for this? That was cool. Yeah.
Let's let the VIPs decide if that was cringe or fire. Let us know in the Discord. All right. I believe that is it of the archive of clips that we have.
We don't have to do any more. Yeah, we get but, to.
No, I'm kidding. Hey, gentlemen, seriously, it's been a pleasure to many more of these.
Yeah.
And what a fun and exciting milestone. So I really appreciate all the work both of you do. And thanks for making the show so successful and fun and lively and still an excuse for the three of us idiots to hang out once a week. So I love you both. And this has been quite the journey we've been on over these last 11 plus years. And I wouldn't want to do 1,000 episodes. Well, there's a few, maybe Dua Lipa, but other than that, I wouldn't want to do 1,000 episodes.
Dua Lipa and Will Forte, right?
Yeah.
That'd be probably a better combo than you two, but other than that,
it would definitely be you guys. So thank you. I'm sincerely honored to be here with you and humbled and all that stuff to have done all these with you guys. It's been fun.
Truly, we don't speak in sincerity very often. This is something that I'm legitimately proud of, the thing that we've kind of made here, the community that we've carved out, and having done this for 1,000 up, there are not a lot of independent podcasts that have been able to do what we do. And I think it's in large part because of the three of us, the varying skill sets that the three of us have and the way that those things have worked together and our genuine friendship and whatnot. And, I love doing this stuff and I hope there's 1,000 more because we need the paychecks, you know. But seriously, well, this has been a great run.
I do want to say, if you've been listening to the show for an extended period of time, we would love to have you as a VIP because that means we're like-minded people. And I've met so many awesome like-minded people in the VIP. And, you know, it's not just with us. I mean, with each other. They've formed lifelong friendships with each other that have, sparked other podcasts and meetups. They don't care about us. They just use us to meet each other, which is fine.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, awesome people. If you're ever sitting there on a Friday night, you're like, yeah, you know, the spouse is at work, and I'm watching this movie, and I really want to get my thoughts out, see if anybody else has seen it. You know, I have nobody to talk to. That's such a great outlet for that. And these people, you know, love talking about movies and pop culture and music. We've got the Mad About Sports. You guys heard a little bit of that in the VIP there in the clips. But I mean, we've got all kinds of topics popping off in there, from food to music and all kinds of things people were talking about, but it's just like-minded people that love movies. They also like other stuff too. So let's keep that in mind. And madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP get you access to that. And honestly, it's the best way to ensure that the show keeps happening is the people that support us there and give us feedback on a consistent, regular basis and have really become part of the show. So if you would, wouldn't mind supporting us, we would love and appreciate that. We would love to have you as a part of that group. So madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP, become a VIP. And speaking of that, we're going to get off the air here and we're going to record an episode talking Coen Brothers for the VIPs. So let's do that. And hope this was fun. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know your favorite memories of the show via social media. And if you like what you heard, please leave us 5 stars on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks so much. Till next time. See you at the cinema. Goodbye.
Tell you.